Jack Stalwart, secret agent, has arrived in New York to find that a dinosaur bone has been stolen from the Museum of Natural History by a very smart kid. Jack has to get on his trail, fast. Jack unlocked his secret agent book bag and took out a slim silver box, the picture grabber, and plugged it into the monitor. He pushed the grab button. Instantly, it registered the image of the boy on the screen and a picture printed out from the side of the box. "Do you know what school he goes to?" asked Jack.
"From the uniform, I'd say it was Eastside Grammar," answered the security officer. "It's located at the intersection of 23rd Street and Park Avenue."
"Great," said Jack. "Thanks for your help." Jack approached the towering steps of Eastside Grammar just before 8:45 in the morning. Classes were about to start, and boys and girls were hurriedly climbing the steps. There was no doubt, Jack thought, seeing their red, green and grey uniforms, that the boy who took the bone from the museum was definitely a student at this school. Jack followed the students through the large doors. Amidst the clang of student lockers, he spied a door with a name on it, Principal Judith Danner. He knocked. A stern voice answered.
"Yes?"
Jack opened the door. Sitting at the desk was a woman wearing a bright purple dress. "Principal Danner, my name is Jack Stalwart," he explained, showing his badge. "I work for the Global Protection Force. I've been asked to trace the whereabouts of a dinosaur bone that was stolen from the Museum of Natural History. I have reason to believe that the person who took it attends this school." Jack showed her the picture. "This student was on a field trip at the museum. I got this picture from the surveillance video." Principal Danner shook her head in surprise.
"I can't believe it. That's Thomas Eberle, one of our finest science students. For the last 2 years, Thomas has won our school science fair. The entire school is waiting to view this year's entry. He even took second prize at the state science fair competition last year."
"Do you know what class he's in right now?" asked Jack. "I need to speak to him."
"Unfortunately," replied Principal Danner, "Thomas isn't at school today. He's home sick with the flu."
"I still need to speak to him," said Jack. "Do you have his address?"
Normally I wouldn't give out this information, but as you work for the GPF..."
She looked in one of her filing cabinets.
Here it is. He lives in an apartment on 33rd Street, where it crosses Park Avenue."
Jack bounded down the school steps to Park Avenue, into a swarm of yellow taxis and hundreds of people. Horns were honking, people were talking loudly on their mobile phones, and delivery trucks were making stops in front of shop owners' basement doors. New York was definitely one of the busiest cities Jack had ever seen. Just then, the ground rumbled, and Jack looked through the grating below him and saw a silver train whizzing under the pavement. This was the subway, New York City's underground railway, and it was right underneath Jack's feet. Jack carried on, walking the 10 blocks to Thomas's apartment. He climbed the stairs in front of the building and went through a glass door into an entrance hall. He found himself facing another glass door. To his right was a panel on the wall with a series of names and buttons. Next to the button marked 18 was the name Eberle. Jack pushed it. A female voice came over the speaker.
"Hello?"
"Hi, my name is Jack Stalwart. I'm here to see Thomas. Principal Danner gave me Thomas's address." There was a pause, then a click, and the glass door popped open. Jack walked inside, then followed the long hallway until he reached the door marked 18. The door was flung open, and a friendly woman with an enormously toothy grin stood before him.
"Hi there, I'm Mrs. Eberle. It's so nice of you to come and see Thomas when he's sick. Come in."
Thomas's mum was extremely tall and thin, with long, curly red hair and freckles.
"Let me go and tell him you're here."
She walked down the short hallway to the first door on the left and knocked.
"Thomas, your friend Jack is here to see you."
A voice came from inside the room.
"I don't know any Jack." Thomas Eberly, she said, raising her voice, don't be rude. You come out here and see your friend Jack. He's come all this way to visit you.
There was a short pause. Something rustled inside the bedroom. Thomas came out, quickly closing the door behind him. Thomas had red hair and freckles, and he looked absolutely fine. He didn't look sick at all.
See, said his mum, pointing to Jack. Jack has come to see you.
I don't know this kid, Mom, said Thomas as he stared at Jack.
No, said Jack. Thomas and I haven't met before. I'm here on behalf of the Global Protection Force to collect something Thomas took that doesn't belong to him. Jack pulled out the pitcher and showed it to Thomas. Mrs. Eberly looked confused.
What's this all about, Thomas?
Just then, a loud crash came from Thomas's bedroom. Then there was a series of barks. Thomas looked at Jack.
That's just my dog, Freddy, he said, quickly dismissing the noise. He's just playing.
He turned to his mum.
Mom, I didn't steal anything. I only borrowed it.
Thomas, said his mum, growing concerned, what did you take?
An even bigger crash came from the bedroom, then a loud bang, as if something had hit a wall hard.
Look, Mom, explained Thomas, I only borrowed a small piece of bone from the Museum of Natural History yesterday. I was going to return it when I finished my science project.
Thomas Richard Eberly, said the boy's mother angrily, I can't believe you took something that didn't belong to you. You should know better.
Growling sounds were coming from Thomas's room. Then the growl changed to a noise unlike anything they had ever heard before. The force of the sound was so great it shook the entire building and almost knocked them off their feet.
Thomas! His mum yelled, scared half out of her wits. What was that?
Thomas gulped. He looked frightened. The sound came booming from the room again. Thomas's eyes darted towards his room.
That's this year's science project, Mom.
Crash! There was a splintering noise from Thomas's bedroom. Whatever it was had blown Thomas's door clear out of its frame. All that was left was thousands of wooden splinters strewn across the carpet in the hallway. Slowly, an enormous green head lowered itself through what used to be the doorway and into the hallway. It was so massive that it barely fitted through the frame. Its eyes, which were black and bulging, were roaming up and down the hall. The hundreds of teeth that lined its wide jaws were tall, thin, and razor sharp. It was hungry, Jack thought, not only because it was drooling, but also because it seemed to be sniffing for prey. Its fearsome roar made Jack jump. He recognized the head from Lewis Porter's book. It was the head of the most ferocious carnivore of the late Jurassic. Thomas had brought the Allosaurus to life in his very own bedroom.
Underneath the kitchen table! Jack screamed as he yanked Thomas and his mum out of the creature's sight.
The frame around Thomas's bedroom door came down with a crash, and the dinosaur was walking down the Eberly's hallway. It seemed to be growing by the second. Thud, thud, thud. It was coming closer. Sniff, sniff. It was trying to pick up their scent. Jack reached into his secret agent book bag and pulled out a can of GPF's neutralizing scent spray. Perfect protection, Jack thought, against meat-eating dinosaurs. He quickly sprayed himself, Thomas, and Mrs. Eberly, just as the dinosaur made its way to the kitchen. Mrs. Eberly was trying very hard not to scream. Jack risked a look from underneath the tablecloth. The Allosaurus hadn't smelled a thing. It moved past them towards the front door. Crash! It knocked it down. Blam! It thundered down the hallway and broke through the main entrance onto the street.